broadcasting to Lincoln and the world, you're listening to
The Cross.
KNNA 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Would you like to be able to speak about life issues like abortion or assisted suicide with courage and compassion? Hi, I'm Pastor Michael Salamek, Executive Director of Lutherans for Life. We're an organization that exists to equip Lutherans to be gospel-motivated voices for life. We have resources available at www.lutheransforlife.org, or you can call us at 888-364-LIFE. That's 888-364-5433.
Stand up. Stand out. Protecting freedom takes hard work. Protecting freedom takes dedication. Protecting your freedom sometimes takes the ultimate sacrifice. But the rewards are great, knowing that you are doing something important for your country. You have that sense of responsibility and accomplishment, knowing that you are doing something that you believe in. So stand up. Stand out. Thank you, veterans of the United States Armed Forces, the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Army, the U.S. Navy, the United States Marine Corps, the U.S. Coast Guard, and all of our merchant mariners. Thank you for what you have done for us, and thank you to every single one of you who continue to work in this field to protect the freedoms that we enjoy in this country.
We live in a sin-filled world, and the darkness of that sin sometimes causes us to be down, down and out, down and depressed. But take heart. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We would like to invite you to join us for worship and hear the life-giving, life-changing message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for you and for the light of the world. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school and Bible study in between, and every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Please join us, won't you? We're located just north of 40th and Old Cheney. And remember, Jesus says, I am the light of the world.
Tired of carrying your car around just so you can listen to 95.7 FM? Then download the free KNNA app on your Android or iOS device and listen to us on the go.
On the air and online. Listen to KNNA LP 95.7 FM anywhere in the world at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
Welcome, Lincoln, Nebraska, and KRRCLP in Rogue River, Oregon. Great to have you on board. This is the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, and normally I would have David Sandman here co-hosting with me, but he's not able to make it here this afternoon. So Adam Mankin from Off on a Tangent is here with me this afternoon.
It's a big risk having me on here.
Is it a big risk? Well, you're not going to be like the other two who tend to burp on the radio.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
which we did put an end to that.
Yes.
We did put an
yep.
end to that.
Yeah.
So, Adam, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Yeah.
It's great to have you on, and you're always welcome to come on board anytime you can.
I know.
You know. Don't sound so excited when you say it like that. So this is the Y-Files. It's a part of KNNA and also anyone else involved with the Lutheran Broadcasters Network, which I'll get to that in a little bit. It's a part of KNNA where I ask guest pastors to come on to the Y-Files, and we ask them fun, interesting, tough, controversial, deep questions. Not if they went from like light to heavy there. Because it's true.
I don't think I signed up for that.
Because we've talked about all sorts of topics. We've discussed the validity of the Bible. We have discussed the sacraments. We have discussed the Trinity. We've discussed aliens. We've discussed the Nephilim. We've discussed abortion, assisted suicide. I can't even keep track of all the topics that we've discussed, but we've discussed a lot of things. And I bring up these questions because there's people out in the world, especially like on YouTube, who are looking for answers, and they're always going to the wrong source. They're going to YouTube. They're going to the interwebs. They're going to Wikipedia. That's not where the answers are. And a lot of the answers that people are looking for are in Scripture. And that's what I want to make sure for everyone listening right now is that this show starts from Scripture first, and then we make assumptions or opinions after that if need be. But it starts from Scripture first. So I just want to make that clarification because that's very important. So this is a Lutheran radio program, LCMS, Confessional Lutheran. I just want to get that out there really quick for anyone who's brand new to the show. Mm-hmm. So this afternoon, joining us is Pastor Christopher Morundi, who used to actually be pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and then he decided to go get educated and go to Fort Wayne to get his master's degree.
No, doctorate.
Doctorate. I'm sorry. Doctorate. Right? What? Yes. Both?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Doctorate.
Doctorate. I'm sorry. I'm clearly not educated enough to know the difference between masters and doctorates. But it's great to have you on. I mean, I haven't seen you for a while. How are you doing?
We're doing great. It's almost done, really. The academic year is drawing to a close, or at least we've started the third quarter, and so far classes have gone well. My service as a teacher has gone pretty well, been well received, and it's been fun. And then my service at the congregation has also been a blessing as well. So, and family's doing well. We've been working on our house and doing some projects here and getting started in the yard and kind of stuff that Jim enjoys. And we're doing well. We're doing very well.
Great. Well, I know you're busy, but I really appreciate you taking the time to come onto the program
you're welcome.
And discuss some things about Revelation. Now usually I have some questions in relation to whatever topic that we want to bring up, but this one's a little bit more open, a little bit more broad, because I know you have a decent amount of knowledge when it comes to Revelation. You actually even had a Bible study that was broadcasted on KNNALP.
Yeah. Yep, we did that here at Good Shepherd and recorded it, and it's been on KNNA, yep.
Right. So I just wanted to go ahead and basically rehash maybe a little bit of what you did talk about on that program, or maybe even add some if necessary. Mm-hmm. Or if Adam has some questions, which I think he does.
I'll chime in whenever I can.
I think he's got something in the back of his head.
Okay.
So,
from past experiences and knowledge of my past evangelical life, you know, the Revelation and the times is probably the biggest thing that they drive in, to be honest. They really do. It's like they get the newfound Christian, and the Christian comes in like, boom, I want to know about the end times straight in. It's always that way.
Yeah,
and it's a huge concern too. Honestly stressful to these people.
It is. And you know, my wife, she grew up in a couple of different denominations throughout her life before she married me and became Lutheran. and there were some fears that she had. Mm-hmm. And there's one story that she likes to tell me. And Pastor, I think you've heard this. She went out of her room after being in a room for a long time and nobody was around. Like, she didn't know where anybody was. And she literally thought that the rapture had happened that she was left behind.
Yep.
And she freaked out, like legitimately freaked out.
Yep.
And not that long ago, in a different story, a different person, somebody I was working with we were just kind of doing some small talk, and he found out that I was Christian. He got all excited, and then it went from that almost immediately to end times discussion, and he was talking about a lot of weird things, and I'm like, okay, we might both be Christian, but you and I both believe something completely different when it comes to the end times.
It's often the case. It really is often the case.
Yeah, so there are a lot of misconceptions about Revelation, and so that's kind of what I want to discuss. I know we don't have a whole lot of time before the first break, but that's where I want to go is, what are the common misconceptions of Revelation, and how should we read the book of Revelation?
I mean, it's such a huge topic, and everyone wants to talk about it. Everyone wants to know about it. When we had a Revelation class at the seminary, I think probably the registrar said, 25 can take it for credit, and that's the limit. We had 25 people taking it for credit. We had probably 10 people auditing it, and we had people sitting on the floor. I mean, it's just that popular of a subject. And they're teaching it this quarter again at the Sem, and it sounds like the exact same situation. And when you go to a congregation and the pastor says, okay, what book of the Bible do you want to study? What does everyone say?
Revelation.
But it's become it's such a tough book because it's been abused so much.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's been abused so much. And for that reason, a lot of people kind of shy away from it. But when they do, they miss out on some just amazing, amazing, beautiful stuff in this book. And I guess the way I would start would be to essentially the way we read the book has often been wrong. Typically, the way people read the book is in a straight line, like you're reading a newspaper. And so A is followed by B, which is conveniently followed by C, which most often is followed by D. And so you just kind of follow it straight through. Well, if you do that with the book of Revelation, number one, I'll explain in a bit, it's not true to the very nature of the book itself. But number two, you're going to end up with Jesus coming back about three times. Which, as if you read like the Left Behind books or some other material, that's what you find. Jesus does come back several times, and so if you read it straight through like that, you end up with some absurdities. You really do, and you end up trying to fit the current events into the schema that you're reading in Revelation. And so I've heard as ridiculous things like I think it's in later in Revelation. It speaks about bees flying around, and someone said, "Well, that's Chinese helicopters."
What? Okay.
Not heard
that one.
Yeah, okay. That's a little strange. And so you end up reading it straight through, like it's a timeline, like it's a newspaper, and then you fit your own newspaper into it. And you try and figure out, okay, when are these things happening so I can kind of figure out when is the end going to come? And that just gets you in all sorts of trouble. It gets you into a vision of the end times that is really, really messed up.
I know in a lot of churches, they'll actually put like current events into big, you know, production themes and put script, you know, Revelation into it and really kind of mold it in together. And it's kind of a, you know, driving fear into the congregation of that particular church.
Like,
this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And this is what Revelation says compared to what's going on here. And they've been doing that, probably ever since you can get a big screen or a jumbotron in a church. Wow.
And they've been doing it with different mediums for a lot longer than that.
I know that too.
So you end up with a book that's all about fear, that's about trying to set a date, that's about all these things other than what it is actually about. And the book of Revelation is actually about giving comfort to persecuted Christians. Mm-hmm. So you have Christians who are under the threat of persecution, who Rome is hanging the sword over their heads, and they need confidence. They need hope. They need to be told that Christ still reigns. And what's wonderful about Revelation is that it pulls back the curtain on their persecuted existence and shows, yep, Jesus is still enthroned. He still reigns. The God who you worship sits on the throne, and he has not left it, and you are not alone.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Christopher Morundi, who is now at Fort Wayne studying for his doctorate. and he's very well versed in Revelation. So we have some more coming up, so don't go away. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Recently, KNNA The Cross developed something new. We began the Lutheran Broadcasters Network with the hopes of bringing other Lutheran radio stations around the nation together. Through this network, other Lutheran radio stations who have joined will have the ability to borrow each other's original programs. It is a great way to lift each other up, promote each other's radio stations, and have unity in teaching and preaching the Word of God. In a way, this allows stations to grow beyond their current broadcast range. Radio stations in association with this network will always remain entirely independent. Radio stations involved will have no authority over the other. The network's goal is to proclaim the Word of God and Christ crucified. We are excited to announce that KRRC-LP, The Bridge, of Rogue River, Oregon, and KNGN of McCook, Nebraska, have joined the Lutheran Broadcasters Network. You can check them out at our website, thecross957.org, by scrolling all the way down on the homepage and clicking on that link. Check them out. You'll be glad you did.
Jesus said, "Thus it is written, the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be claimed in his name to all nations." This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We here at KNNA LP 95.7 are excited to be able to bring the good news of God's saving gospel to the city of Lincoln and beyond. KNNA is expanding our programming with some Spanish Lutheran devotions. These Spanish Lutheran devotions will be heard at 5 a.m. and at 5 p.m. Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. Please share this good news with your Spanish-speaking friends. And if you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. Please write to us at info@thecross957.org. Thank you, and may God richly bless you in Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk, along here with my co-host, guest co-host.
Sure.
Adam.
Yeah.
Who is a host of When Music is Music. Off on a tangent.
Mm-hmm.
No, Old Level Jack is When Music is Music, and I produce that show as well. So I get a lot of names mixed up. Soon I'm going to start calling you guys by my daughter's names.
Really looking forward to that one.
My mom still calls me by my other two siblings before actually getting to my name.
Mm-hmm.
How many years has it been? 35? Anyways, joining us this afternoon is Pastor Christopher Morundi. He's been discussing the Book of Revelation. We just touched base on it and understanding that the Book of Revelation needs to not be looked at in a linear fashion. See, Pastor, I told you I was going to take the reins.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And it's actually a more cyclical direction that we need to take it. So would you talk some more about how we need to be looking at Revelation?
Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of – Revelation is very much a Old Testament-y type book. And the Old Testament people were not like us Western thinkers. We like things very linear, straightforward. A followed by B, followed by C, followed by – that's why we love the Book of Romans. But in the Old Testament, you look at Isaiah, you look at the other prophets, even in, say, all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapters 1 and 2 has two creation accounts. And so it tells the story of creation, then it circles back and tells it from a different angle. And that's the same thing we have going on in Revelation. It's very much an Old Testament-y Hebrew type book in that it's telling the same story. And this story is it kind of depends on where it wants to start on each cycle, but it's fall, judgment, and you know, the age of sin, redemption, salvation, Christ coming back, to kind of give you the broad outline of that. And it tells that story a number of times from different angles and in different ways and using different imagery. So actually what I would do when I was teaching the class right underneath your feet is I would actually walk forward on the alongside everyone's tables and I'd stop. I'd say, okay, we're getting close to the end of time, and then we stop and then we back up a little bit and start over again. And then we get close to the end of time and we stop and we back off again. And then finally in Revelation 20, I've got to look real quick here. Yeah. 20, 21, 22. We finally cross the threshold and get into the last day, new heavens, new earth. We finally get there. And like I said, if you read Revelation like a newspaper straight in a straight line chronologically, you're going to end up with Jesus coming back a number of different times. Right. And if you read it, but if you look at it in this kind of – it's spiraling almost – maybe in a corkscrew almost, in that it's getting to a point, right? And it's getting to a culmination, a climax, where Jesus does come back and the new heavens and the new earth are created. And then you cross the threshold in Revelation 22.
So there's no other – well, you mentioned a little bit of Genesis, but just from someone like your random John Doe on the street who's kind of looked at the Bible every once in a while and they read it, Revelation is a very unique book.
Mm-hmm.
So – maybe you kind of explained this already, but why is it written like this? Why, I guess, in what you're discussing, why continue to repeat things over and over and over again? Yeah. Why not just say, this is how it is, this is what's going to be? Why not write it in a linear fashion?
Well, I would think, as a shout out to Pastor Poppy, repetitio mater, I can't remember the last word. Repetition is the mother of learning. Repetition is the mother of learning, and repetition is the mother of learning. So it's the – okay, you got it. Okay. So this idea that we drive something home, and it's also – I mean, it's just kind of in the Hebrew ethos that they repeat things. They chew it over. They're not like us who kind of – we hear one point, we're ready to move on to the next. Mm-hmm. They ruminate on it and they go over it. And it is to drive it home. Like I said, a corkscrew. So you're not just circling or in circles, but you're driving towards a point. And it's just that you read the stories of the Old Testament and they take their time. Mm-hmm. And especially I think of the Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue in Daniel, where if you read it, they repeat all the musical instruments like four times. And to a Western ear, that is really awfully repetitive. But to a Hebrew ear, that's pretty good poetry. That really sounds great, and it drives it home. And so that's part of it.
Would you say that some of it is oral tradition?
Yeah, well
because of oral tradition, and then people would write that down, they would just kind of write what was being said. Is that possible?
It does. It helps with remembering. And it helps with passing it down, certainly. I don't know that – we don't want to push that too far, because then we might end up kind of undermining the Bible's veracity, but which we do not want to do. But it does make it easier to remember. It makes it easier to drive that point home and for us to – for someone to tell the story and someone to hear the story. Plus it allows it allows us to see the same story in so many different ways, allows us to kind of be looking at it like a diamond, right? You're looking at all these different angles of it, and really gives you such a much more rich picture than we'd get otherwise. Think about the four Gospels. I mean, God could have just said, hey, I'm just going to give them one. But no, he gave us four. So we get the same story four times from different angles. And just think of how much more rich we are because of that. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it does provide a more in-depth understanding, a bigger picture. I when you were saying that, what I was kind of picturing was a 2D image has now turned into a 3D image.
Mm-hmm.
And not only just a 3D image, but you can literally walk around the 3D image and get the whole picture of whatever you're looking at. So,
and that leads to another point, that the images, Revelation is a very visionary image book. I mean, this is the record of what John saw So it wasn't like John was sitting there and an angel showed up and said, here, I'm going to sit you down for 3 hours and I'm going to tell you all this. No, he showed him the vision and John recorded as he was seeing the vision. So it's an incredibly visual book. And that also gets through to us in maybe a little bit different way than say, the Book of Romans or a book that is more more focused, not necessarily on images, but on explaining things. So this, of course, that has its disadvantage too, right? And we've seen that through history, and that Revelation's been interpreted 3 million different ways. But I think if you keep your eye fixed on the prize in Revelation and realize what the whole point of the book is, which I mentioned before, that's to give hope to those who are under persecution, to show them that Christ is still enthroned, that the beast, that Rome, or really any of the enemies of the church are going to be thrown down when the last day comes. You keep your eyes fixed on Christ, then you're not going to go wrong in Revelation. And a lot of the imagery is going to be weird and wonky, and you might not get it, but you will understand the bigger picture of the book. And you won't get caught up in trying to, you know, decode it. You're simply going to receive it as proclamation.
A couple things. Is there anything to decode from the book of Revelation?
Well, to decode only, I would say that's probably to use that word is implying that, oh, yeah, you got to figure out the numbers and you got.
Because there's a lot of people who are out there trying to do that.
Oh, certainly.
Absolutely.
And in that sense, no. But on the other hand, do we have to do a bit of work to figure out what these images mean? Yeah, certainly we do. And so in that sense, you could maybe speak of decoding in the sense that when we see certain images, say in Revelation, is it 5? Yeah, Revelation 5, you have a lamb, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have, there it is. You have a lion. They speak of a lion. Well, lion and a lamb, you read that. And if you completely disconnect that from the rest of scripture, you're not going to know what the heck he's talking about. What's going on here? So you do have to do a bit of decoding. You have to understand what kind of scriptural context is there. And for Revelation, the context is really the imagery is very much similar to Daniel and Ezekiel. So that's really where a lot of this imagery is first found in the Bible is in Daniel and Ezekiel. And then, of course, you know, Jesus's own speaking about the end times is also found very much here as well.
So it's very important that your random Jane or John Doe don't just open up the book of Revelation and just start reading it and then knowing exactly what it says. They're going to need someone like a pastor who can help them understand the book of Revelation. Because
should be noted, should be a good pastor.
someone who is knowledgeable, yes, in the book of Revelation is important. Because I remember looking at the book of Revelation a lot of years ago, and I read a certain part about it, and I said, well, that's what this is. This is going to happen. That's what it actually means. Mm-hmm. I, of course, was proved wrong, you know, first of all, because it never happened, and second, because I had a pastor who knew about Revelation, mm-hmm. who was able to discuss it. So, you know, I have a better mm-hmm. understanding of it now today. But it's very important that you don't go to YouTube to see all the end times videos that people have put together, and, you know, they're proving that, you know, Jesus is coming soon, which is true. Jesus mm-hmm. is coming soon. Yes, the signs yep. are there, but don't mm-hmm. be looking at the book of Revelation for an exact date, because, like you said, Adam, mm-hmm. it's going to be like a thief in the night. It's just going to appear.
It's going to happen.
So, Pastor, what we have – well, we don't really have a couple minutes. We have like 1 minute. So how about – but before I ask you the next thing, let's just go to a break. So you are listening to The Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk along here with our guest pastor, Pastor Morendi, and my guest co-host, Adam. This is The Y-Files. By the way, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheY-Files. There you can ask questions, share a page, like our page, that kind of thing. But you can also go to thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org. And you can click on the Y-Files logo toward as you scroll down a little bit on the homepage. If you click on that, that'll take you to the Y-Files page, which there's also a little link there that says ask a question. You go there, you click on that, it'll be an email thing, and you can email me your question as well. If you also want to hear any more Y-Files shows, it's the same website, thecrosstime57.org. See repetition. Three times I've said that. And there, and the Y-Files has an archive there. You can listen to previously made shows. So go ahead and go there. We have to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Let's go. This is your radio, your station.
KNNA 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Ashley. And we host Notes from the Stage, KNNA LP 95.7 FM's one and only Broadway and movie musical show.
Every Thursday night from 5 to 6 p.m., we'll bring you the glitz and glam of Broadway musicals and Hollywood show tunes.
So tune in here to KNNA LP 95.7 FM for songs from Beauty and the Beast, Phantom of the Opera,
and Chicago, and much, much more.
Every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m., yours truly, old lovable Jack Kirk.
And me, Nancy, who Jack calls Princess Nancy, will take you on a quick musical walk back in time with the music of the big band era.
And we also bring you some of the history of those times.
Along with the information on local Lincoln area dance bands for your listening and dancing pleasure.
Why not join Nancy and me every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on When Music Was Music, right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7.
Want to get a painting project started, but just don't have the time? Indigo Painting is here to help. Indigo Painting does interior, exterior, doors, garages, accent walls, stain, foundations, windows, and even small drywall repairs. Indigo Painting. For more information, call 402-610-1872. That is 402-610-1872. Indigo Painting, where their motto is, your satisfaction is our priority.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I'm Captain Kirk, along here with Adam, and our guest pastor this afternoon is Pastor Morundi, who is currently studying for his doctorate at Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I got to say, Pastor, we were a little concerned when we weren't getting you on Skype earlier in the show, because we thought, well, you're in a different time zone. Did we get the times wrong? but I'm glad that you're here. It's good. It's great. All right, so we've been talking about the Book of Revelation, how we need to look at it in a cyclical point of view, not a linear point of view. And one of the things that you mentioned, Pastor, also was that Revelation is a book of hope. Can you go a little bit more in depth about what you mean that Revelation is a book of hope? Because most people look at the Book of Revelation and freak out. So how is it hope?
Yeah. Well, many people forget. They get caught up so much in the visionary stuff in the rest of the book that they forget to look at chapters 1 and 2. 1, 2, and also, yes, it goes into 3. The letters to the seven churches. And these really preface the book, and they really give the purpose for the book. And Jesus commands John to write these words down for seven churches that John presumably had some relationship with. And he is to convey this message from Christ himself to these churches. And in all these churches, sometimes it's a little bit harsher, you know, you guys are going the wrong way, you need to be corrected. Sometimes it's very much of you are dwelling in the midst of Satan's attacks, and you are standing, and I commend you. In all of them, he has an encouragement, he has an exhortation, sometimes a bit of a rebuke, sometimes even more of it than just a bit of a rebuke. But he's speaking to Christians who are existing in a world that hates them. And in that way, Revelation speaks very much to all of us. And immediately from that, we get the first throne room scene in heaven. And John sees heaven, and he sees everyone surrounding the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty, who is and was and is to come." They fall down before the throne, and then who comes but the Lamb? And in fact, it's crazy because John is told to expect a lion, and then who shows up but a lamb, looking as if it has been slain. And so they come before the Lamb and they offer him worship. This Lamb who has been slain, Jesus the Christ, is enthroned. He's sitting on the throne. And that sets up the whole rest of the book then. The whole rest of the book is showing this Lamb enthroned and what flows from that, what consequences come from that. So I would say it really is a pulling back of the curtain between the earthly reality that we see with our eyes and the heavenly reality that we don't see but is still nonetheless just as true, that Christ is enthroned. And I'm really of the opinion that John was celebrating the Lord's Supper when this vision appeared to him. And so it really, in a sense, if you can imagine it in your own churches, that you're there for the divine service and suddenly God kind of pulls back the back of the church and shows you, this is what's happening. You guys may just see a man standing up there preaching. You may see bread and wine on the altar. You may see a baptismal font. Let me show you what's really going on here. And he pulls back the veil and shows us the Lamb enthroned in the midst of all the heavenly worshipers. So this is the reality that is our reality, even when we are in the midst of a sinful world, a world that hates us, a world that's persecuting us, a world where we're surrounded by sin and disaster and trouble. Christ remains enthroned. That is our hope. And the hope ultimately comes to fruition then at the end of the book, when the triumph over all the enemies is complete, new heavens and new earth, where there will be no more crying anymore.
Would you say that the book of Revelation, in a cyclical point of view, is just the story from creation to the end of the world? Would you say that's what the book of Revelation
is? Yeah, in essence, yeah. And different parts of different cycles deal with it in a more or less comprehensive way. But maybe the best place to see it would really be in chapter 12, with it, which is the woman and the dragon being thrown down. And in it starts out with a woman giving birth. She's in the pains of childbirth. And that's really the entirety of the Old Testament, is the woman, Israel, who then becomes quite literally a woman, Mary, who is in the pains of childbirth for the entirety of the Old Testament, crying out in the agony, and the dragon wants to devour her child as soon as he is born. She gives birth to a male child, it says, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And in that one word there, caught up, that one phrase, caught up to God in heaven, we have the incarnation, death, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement of Christ. Just in one little phrase there.
Wow.
The child was caught up to God and to his throne. The entirety of, say, the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is right there in that phrase. And so he's enthroned. He's enthroned. And then the woman goes into the wilderness. Well, that's the church, right? The church dwells in the wilderness, and she is there. And Satan is defeated in heaven. And how is Satan defeated in heaven? It says in chapter 12, verse 11. And they, the saints, and really even the angelic host, have conquered him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death. So how did they conquer? How did Michael cast out Satan from heaven? How did the saints conquer? Well, it's through the blood of the Lamb.
You mentioned the woman and kind of, mm-hmm. and just went into great depth as to what that actually means, Israel, Mary, the church, so on and so forth. But you didn't really, and this might be just kind of an obvious one, but you didn't really discuss the dragon. Who or what is the dragon?
Yeah, the dragon Satan, the kind of the mover and actor. He's quite prominent in the book of Revelation. You have the dragon image, the satanic image. You also have, as Satan's instrument and henchmen and henchwomen, you have the prostitute Babylon is one of his cohorts. You have other beasts that show up and deceive many on the earth, and they are in league with him. But yes, it is Satan. He prowled around, and you look at the Old Testament. I think chapter 12 really gives us a wonderful lens to view the entire Old Testament, that the entirety of the Old Testament is the woman, Israel, getting ready to give birth to the Christ child, and Satan hovering around trying to destroy her and waiting to destroy that child. And when the child's born, Satan snaps his jaws shut and he gets nothing.
Yeah, because he is defeated.
Yeah, he in fact is defeated.
Satan is defeated by Christ's death, resurrection. He has won the battle for us.
Yeah, and that's the important thing, because in the latter part of chapter 12, you might get the impression that it's Michael and his great angelic sword that takes care of Satan. Well, no, the book of Revelation makes quite clear the way that they conquer the dragon is by the blood of the Lamb.
So you're giving a lot of symbolic imagery here. Can I say that symbolic?
That's the numbers in Revelation are generally symbolic, almost always symbolic. Mm-hmm. And the images are very symbolic too, and they're all freighted with usually Old Testament imagery.
So how can we take the book of Revelation, and can we look at it literally or figuratively or both? How are we supposed to look at the book of Revelation?
I think you look at the overall message of the book literally, right? That Christ is enthroned, he's coming back again, new heavens, new earth. The way that the book then describes those things is usually in imagery. Was there literally a woman walking around trying to give birth for several thousand years? And then she had a child and the dragon, and there's a dragon there trying. No, but that very accurately describes what happened throughout the Old Testament, all the way up to the incarnation, the birth of Christ. So, you know, it's imagery, but it's all there to serve a purpose and to proclaim great truth. And so Revelation, this is another thing we have to know about Revelation. Revelation is not meant to give us kind of a guidebook to the new heavens, new earth. That's not its point. That's not its intention. We can learn many things about the new heavens and new earth, but we can't expect to read the book of Revelation and say, oh, now I know exactly what it's going to be like in heaven. Well, no, that's not its purpose. It's not the point. The point of the book of Revelation is to proclaim Christ and proclaim his victory and to prepare us for the eternity that is coming. And so you actually find that Revelation is fairly vague with any details about heaven. If you come there looking for a guidebook, you're either going to make some pretty weird claims or else you're just going to be very disappointed.
So would it be safe to say that the book of Revelation is like doing a speech when you say in conclusion? or you've written an essay and then you say in conclusion, then you give a brief summary to conclude your essay or speech. Could you say that about Revelation?
The entire book of Revelation?
Yeah, could we say that?
It provides a very fitting end to the entirety of Scripture, because if you think about Scripture, Scripture contains all of history. You go from the very creation of all things and then to the proclamation, the portrayal of what is to come, the coming, the return of Christ. And I think very intentionally is meant to close up the entirety of the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the end of chapter 22. It's just an absolutely marvelous piece of Scripture. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the waters of life without price. And then at the very end, he who testifies to these things, as Jesus, says, surely I am coming soon. And what do we say? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then a nice little benediction, just like at the end of your sermons. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Christopher Morendi out in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This is the Y Files. I'm Captain Kirk along here with David. We have to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
No.
Why the track get snapped up?
Not that.
Everything is awesome.
Give me that. There it is. 95.7 on the FM dial. Thank you, Soundtrack Telling.
Jack Kirk.
And I'm Nancy, and we co-host a big band program called When Music Was Music.
If you like great music with a blend of instruments and unforgettable instrumental solos,
if you enjoy memorable singers and close harmony vocal groups, then our program is just what you're looking for.
Tune us in every Friday night from 7 to 9 right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7.
Gettysburg, Shiloh, Antietam, Pea Ridge, Vicksburg, Chickamauga, Cold Harbor, The Wilderness, Fredericksburg, Appomattox Courthouse. These names stir up thoughts and images of the bloodiest conflict in American history. Brother versus brother. North versus South, Grant versus Lee, Lincoln versus Davis, the American Civil War. It has been said that those who fail to learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. We invite you to listen and learn as KNNALP 95.7 The Cross brings to you the Civil War podcast. Tune in every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a new episode. That's The Civil War Podcast, Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m., right here on KNNA 95.7 The Cross. Chancellorsville, Missionary Ridge, Island Number 10, Fort Pillow, Petersburg, Malvern Tavern.
Welcome back to the Y Files. I'm Captain Kirk, and Adam is here.
I'm still here.
My apologies, Adam.
It happens.
It's habit of him being on the program. So
There's someone in our congregation who went about 5 years with getting my name wrong every time. And I'm like, he asked me, is it John? Nope. Not John.
Yeah, so Adam is here, and joining us this afternoon is Pastor Christopher Morendi, who is currently studying for his doctorate at Fort Wayne, Indiana. And he is former pastor here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church as well. So, I mean, the last time you were on this program, Pastor, was almost a year ago, I think.
Yeah, we tried to get me on in February, I believe, and I can't remember what – something came up in my schedule and just didn't – we ended up having to cancel.
So. So I'm glad you're here. So we've been discussing the Book of Revelation and how to look at it. and how it needs to be interpreted. And I just want to make a point. It's very important that as you're studying Revelation, it's use your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to use your pastor, because you can get a lot of weird thoughts and interpretations that may not honestly be true. So you talk to your pastor, have a study with your pastor. That's very important. So, you know, when people think of the book of Revelation, they also think of the end times. And there's a lot of ideas about what the end times will bring.
Yeah.
So as Lutherans, what are we to expect for the end times?
Well, considering we talked about this on the break, I should have had this right available in my hands. The Lutheran doctrine of the end times is actually don't take me wrong, dear listeners, but it is disappointingly simple. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I just mean that you can't really write any long series of books about it and make a lot of money, because it's one sentence. And let me find it. It's right here in the third article of the Apostles' Creed. Most of the way through, actually right towards the very end of that explanation, Luther writes, "On the last day, he, God, will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ." That's it. That's the doctrine of the end times for the Lutherans.
All right, moving on. Show's over, everybody.
Yeah, moving on. it's kind of crazy how simple it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just on the last day, God's going to raise me, all the dead, okay, and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Thanks be to God. That's it. So you don't see any mention of a millennium. You don't see any mention of Chinese helicopters or presidential elections. You don't see any nuclear power plants melting down. Any floods. You just don't see any of that. It's just on the last day, you know, raise me and all the dead, give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
I remember having someone told our youth group back in high school, like, if you ever see the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem fall, that's when you need to be on your best behavior and shape up, because that's happened. That's when it's going to happen.
The rebuilding of the temple, is that what you're getting at?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's a very common misconception.
It's just crazy. All these things that people say have to happen before Jesus can come back. And the teaching of the Bible is that nothing else needs to happen before Jesus comes back. And nothing does. He's done everything, and every promise has been fulfilled. And the signs that he describes in Matthew, or the signs that are described in Revelation, they've been going on since Jesus ascended into heaven.
What kind of signs are you referring to?
The tumult in the world, nation rising against nation,
brother against
families
brother.
Arising against each other, floods and earthquakes and all those sorts of things. Those things have been happening since he ascended into heaven.
Would you describe that as birth pains?
Yes, well, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's the picture. Yep, that these are but the beginnings of the birth pangs is what Jesus says. So you get a wrong idea of the book of Revelation. You get a wrong idea of how the end times are to go, and then you're looking for signs and you're making predictions and you're trying to set dates. And
the weird thing is about it, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the weird thing about that is when you tell someone that's, you know, all up with these signs and bad things happening in the world, if you tell them, like, well, this has been going on since then. I mean, you know, massive kingdom, the Antichrist coming. It's like, well, Hitler could have been one, or this person in history. And they're like, well, no, it's going to be a bigger deal than that. And it's just happens all the time. You know, massive destruction happens. It's the way the world is. Earthquakes happen. Floods happen.
If I believe that, then essentially I can just kind of live my unbelieving, debaucherous life until I start seeing these signs. And I'm like, oh, okay, I think things are getting a little close here, and I need to shape up. So it can promote laziness on the one hand. On the other hand, it can promote just kind of this fanaticism that takes all the focus away from Christ. And simply put, Christ isn't waiting for anything to come back.
Mm-hmm.
He is waiting for the proper time. He's waiting for his love, his mercy is what's keeping him from coming back, because he desires all men to be saved.
Yeah.
So every day he doesn't come back, well, it's tougher for us, because we want to have the prayer of the church at the end of Revelation, amen, come Lord Jesus. It may be tougher for us to stick around, but he's doing it out of grace and mercy for those who have not yet heard. That's why he delays. And there is a time when he will come back, and it could be the next second, could be before we get done with this show, could be before the end of the day, could be in another 1,000 years. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've mentioned that God doesn't have to wait for us to do something, but is there anything that we as believers can do or should be doing or anything like that?
Well, sir, the preparation for the end times is simply faith. Simply faith. It's believing in Christ, clinging to Christ, availing ourselves of his great gifts, reading his word, receiving his sacraments. That's how we are prepared for the last day. That's how we're prepared for it. It's the very life of a Christian. It's nothing else than what Christianity is all about, is believing in Christ, clinging to him, receiving his gifts. Nothing else. That is how we are prepared for the end times.
But Pastor, what if I'm caught in a sin during the end?
When the
of
last
time?
Day comes, yeah,
yeah,
when the last
I've
day
heard
comes.
That,
well,
by the way.
Yeah. Oh no. I know exactly what you're talking about. What if you're caught in a sin when you die? What if you're? We do not live in fear. We are saved by grace. We are saved by grace. We are saint and sinner. We are saved by grace. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you know what? Even though we are baptized and delivered, we have that old Adam around our neck. So the only time he's going to leave is when we do die, or when the last day comes. Then he's gone. Then he's gone. So we remain sinful to the very end of our days, whether we are, you know, whether Christ comes back when we're committing a sin or not. Mm-hmm. We remain with that old Adam around our neck, so that what do we cling to? We cling to Christ, not ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes that's hard for a Christian who really clings to, you know, their works themselves.
Yes.
You know, it's
yep,
like
you're exactly right.
Really? I can be saved even though I maybe just cussed up a storm right before the car hit my car and yep. died? I'm like, I was sinning. How am I going to be saved during a sin? And it's just saying, I believe, and having that faith is perfect enough. Mark 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. It doesn't say, whoever believes and was not sinning at the moment of your death will be saved. If you're sinning at the end, when you die, bud.
The only way you could avoid that would be to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that Jesus does not promise that until we die
and go
into the arms of his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have about a minute and a half, Pastor. Okay. Is there anything that you'd like to say to finish up our discussion here on the Y-Files this afternoon?
I think the perspective of the church regarding the end times has gone very far from what we hear in the last verse of the Bible, or the second last verse of the Bible. Amen, come Lord Jesus. We've been taught either to fear it, or we've been taught to kind of hope it doesn't come, either because it's gonna, you know, mess with my how much I love living my life or whatever. We in many ways have been deceived to not say that prayer. And if Revelation should teach us anything, it should teach us to yearn for that day. But on the other and I shouldn't even say on the other hand, while we are yearning for that day, then we serve our neighbor. We love those around us. We do our various vocations. And we live in our Christian lives until the day that Jesus called us home.
Can I say enjoy the gifts that you're given too?
Yes, exactly.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we live in this world. Now, this is an apocryphal saying. I don't think anyone's ever actually found a place where Luther actually said this. But someone said, "Oh, when Luther was asked what would he do if he knew that the world was going to end the next day?" And he said, "I plant a tree." Now, I think that's apocryphal, but the sentiment is actually pretty good. We simply live our life in this world as Christians. And when Jesus comes back, we rejoice because we've been praying the whole time. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Joining us this afternoon is Pastor Christopher Morandi. Thanks for being on the program this afternoon.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Very informative and hopefully very useful for everybody else. Well, that's all we have for this afternoon. This is the Y-Files. Thanks, Adam, for being on the program.
You're very welcome.
We'll see you later.
Thank you, Adam.
Have a great week.